Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Beach Thing, where we bring on guests and we talk about this beautiful city we call Long Beach. And now here's your host, motivational coach, Paul Fortune. Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Beach Thing. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and like us on Facebook on It's a Long Beach Thing. We have a wonderful show for you today. What's more Long Beach than having the mayor of Long Beach join us, Mayor Rex Richardson. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you again for taking the time to do this. I know I'm sure your schedule is extremely busy, but to take the time to just do an interview with a local Long Beach resident, I really appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you, when we talked, you put out the invitation and I told you I would love to come on your show. I like to keep my word. So here we are. Let's talk Long Beach.
Let's do this. So let's start here. How does somebody that was born in Scott Air Force Base in Illinois end up in Long Beach?
Well, that's a good question. I'm here in my office. I'm looking at the flag that was flown at Scott Air Force Base on my birthday here, proudly displayed. My father was in the Air Force. My uncles all served in the Navy and the Marine Corps. And so, you know, I thought I was going to be someone who followed in those footsteps and went into the service. As I grew up, I began to find interest in other things, and I went to college and I majored in philosophy, and that led me to public service. My original roots, again, my father, I was born on an Air Force base. My older sister was born on an Air Force base. We were military kids. But my mom, her roots were down in the South, Alabama. This was a small town called Reform, Alabama, in a county called Pickens County. It's only known for a few things. One of the 13 ghosts of Alabama, and one member of Congress came from there one time, and a couple people that played for University of Alabama football, Roll Tide, and went on to play in the NFL. It's a very small county that my mother came from. Started off life on base. Eventually, my mother and father separated, and we moved around a whole lot. My mother was a welder at General Motors on the assembly line, a real Rosie the Riveter. And so we moved up and down the Midwest. So I've lived in, St. Louis, lived in Detroit and St. Paul, Michigan. Eventually, when I was, 11, 12, we came to California. It was my mom, my sister, who's a year older than me, and my brother, who's 3.5 years younger than me. And we came to California on a Greyhound bus in search of opportunity. We had family here. My grandmother lived here. My great aunt lived here. She had real roots in the Glendora area. She had moved out here in the 50s and created Charter Oak Day School. It's a private school out there, and it's still open to this day. And so we ultimately made it out here to the West Coast, had a 2-bedroom apartment. My mom had 1 bedroom. My sister and brother had 2 bedrooms, and I had the couch, which was fine because that's where the TV was, in the living room. We didn't have a TV in every room like people do now. And it was also good because when I became a teenager, you had access to the front door very quietly. So I was able to grow up, we all contributed. I was raised with these sort of Southern values of hard work, grow up, get an education. No one can take it away from you. Those sort of values and principles. And so I was a student worker. I worked in high school. I worked at Jack in the Box. I worked at the Nickel Arcade. I worked at a costume shop. I had to contribute. And so my sister also worked. She worked at the local stationery shop. I had to contribute to the household. My job was to pay the light bill. My sister paid the phone bill every single month. Those are our contributions. And my mom paid the rent. When it came time for college, we all decided, we're going to go to college. And my sister chose Cal State Dominguez Hills. So I followed her the next year. Figured, we were first generation students, so let's team up. Let's try to tackle this college thing together. That brought us to this area. Here, the broader, greater Long Beach area. A lot of folks who attend Cal State Dominguez Hills, they get apartments in Long Beach because that's where the housing is. And I was one of those folks. I had a 1-bedroom apartment in Bixby Knowles, Banner Drive, while I was still a student at Cal State Dominguez Hills. I was able to serve as student body president. You know, that's where I really learned the meaning of leadership and service and advocacy. I majored in philosophy. I was, you know, big into to debate and deep thinking. You know, around that time, Schwarzenegger was the governor and tuition was increasing significantly. I saw a lot of my friends could no longer afford access to college and things like that. So I got involved. I got involved in statewide student government. I got involved in the state budget actions. And you know, there's, you know, interesting fact, there's some LA Times articles of me at the Board of Chancellors meeting in Long Beach, while Bob Foster, before he was mayor of Long Beach, was on the board. So I was given public comment and he was given comment back. So you had two mayors of Long Beach prior to serving as mayor in the LA Times debating about student fees, the student tuition. So I just always thought that was an interesting sort of a parallel or interesting point that we're foreshadowing, you know, that we would continue in leadership here in the city of Long Beach. I spent a little time when I went into my career, spent a little time in the labor movement, found that advocating for students was very similar to advocating for workers. Wages, hours, working conditions, negotiating those across the table is similar to we're negotiating student parking and student housing and student rights across the table from administration. And so my first few years was, you know, in my career was as an organizer. Ultimately, I was able to work on some high profile campaigns. I was able to go to New Hampshire and Texas for Obama. And you know, I was really inspired in 2008 as a young person. 2009, I was able to buy a home in Long Beach. In North Long Beach is right after bubble had burst. So I put down roots and went from Bixby Knowles to North Long Beach. Great community, you know, proud families just like mine, who, you know, sure, we needed a library. We needed, you know, a coffee shop. There were things we needed, but we had a front yard, a backyard. I was able to own 125. Not many people could do that today. It's because of the kind of community North Long Beach is. And so, you know, so fast forward, when I was 26, I was able to take a job as chief of staff to council member Stephen Neal, the newly elected council member in North Long Beach. There were a lot of things that we needed, and he wanted the community organizer as chief of staff. And I knew organizing. I was a homeowner in the district. I knew local, I knew politics and government. And so I met the criteria he was looking for, and it ended up just being a good fit. He was a pastor, you know, someone senior to me that really took me under his wing and encouraged me to continue my interest in public service. I learned that living and working in your own community brings a lot of intrinsic value. You're able to, you know, drive down the street, see a vacant lot, envision a garden there and make it happen. See a wall sprayed with graffiti and say, wouldn't that be great to make it into a mural, make it happen. See that the community doesn't have a library or a paramedic or a bank, and then work hard and ultimately see that bank built and see that library built and name it Michelle Obama and, you know, do all these different things in your community. That's the power of local government. And so that's what brought me here. You know, the rest I think is kind of history. I stepped up and ran for office when I was 30. You know, was elected to city council, became the youngest council member in history, or per the clerk. You know, we can't find anybody younger. So there may be someone in early history. I'm not sure, but I'm a relatively young council member, and then a vice mayor, and then ultimately a mayor. And I would say, you know, I had no children when we started this process, right? But we've had two kids, and while we were on city council, my wife and I, you know, we got married down on the Long Beach waterfront, Long Beach Museum of Art. Two girls were born at Long Beach Memorial in the first term. So, you know, two kids in one term is kind of, I think that might be a record in Long Beach, two kids in one term. And so now I'm a dad mayor. I got a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old here in Long Beach, and, you know, we're raising our family.
Awesome. Well, I want to back up a second because you talked about being the student body president at Cal State Dominguez Hills,
right,
which is a huge feat in itself. I mean, there's only one president, a student body president at a time, and you were it. So there had to have been a time in your life where, like, you know what, I want to go for this, because a lot of students may say, you know what, I want to be student body president, and they don't put the action into place, but you did. So what gave you that motivation to do that in college?
Well, I'll tell you, the way I was raised, you have a responsibility to your community. And this was sort of encouraged through examples in our life. My mother, when she was young, when she was 7 years old, my daughters are 6 and 9, so around the age of my daughters, she was one of the first 5 students to integrate her elementary school down in Alabama. And so this was 1969. So this was, right after Brown versus Board of Education. This was integration, and she was volunteered to do so. It wasn't that that they made her integrate. Her mom volunteered her to be the first. And this is a time where you're seeing stories like Ruby Bridges and a lot of attacks on a lot of tension. This is a Jim Crow South. And so what would it take for a mother or a parent to send their child in to be the first? Well, that was an act that was that it took activism to do so. And so I have children. It would be a real conversation if I were to send my children into that environment. That's the decision my grandmother made. But why? Well, she grew up in that Jim Crow South, and when she was younger, she was protesting George Wallace, who wouldn't let students integrate the University of Alabama. And she didn't go to college herself, but that was her contribution to making a difference. And so I was always raised with sort of the values of making a difference and leaving things in a better position for future generations. I was raised with this. And coming here to California, we weren't rich, right? We came out and needed to create opportunities for ourselves. And so we were raised to go out and be hungry and go to college. My mother would say things like, go to college and figure out how to pay for it, because we're not rich, so you need to learn financial aid system. And we did. Own a home, so you have housing stability. So we were I it was always a priority for me to own a home, right? So I went to 14 public schools across 5 states. We moved around a whole lot. I know what it feels like to be housing insecure. So getting to college, I had a plan. I identified who were the students that were going places, and I aligned with them. I saw the students in student government. I was inspired by different people. My sister was there a year earlier, so I had a little bit of a roadmap already. A guy named Jose Soláche just got elected to the state assembly. He was mayor of Linwood. He was student body president when I was a freshman. I remember going to new student orientation, and he was giving his speech. And I said, "Well, he's a normal guy, and he's the student body president. What? Maybe I should learn from him." And we became good friends, right? And we're still friends to this day. And so, I think college and university is colleges. The college experience is so important for growth and development. That's why I'm such a proponent for people to go to college, or be connected to an institution, because of the opportunities they'll present. It just opens up your perspective and your world, and that's what happened for me. So student body president was a business decision for me. It was let's get in. Let's see how we can best utilize this time in college to grow and to make a difference.
Do you think that your experiences of going to different schools because your dad was in the military, being able to go to this college and make friends fast because you had to make friends fast because you were moving all over the place? So did you have a personality with that you were able to have people gravitate towards you because that was the how you had to make friends?
Well, that is true. I actually share that with my children, that I know how what it's like to be the new kid at school. I was new kid so many times. And when you put me in a room, there may be 50% of the room who are looking at me like, this is a normal guy. Why is he the mayor? Well, I don't get nervous in those environments. I've gotten those looks my whole life. And frankly, I think it's inspirational, because I'm a regular person, and people in our community are regular people. And I want them to feel empowered. And so yeah, I moved around a whole lot. I would say some of it was attributed to military, but when I was very young, moving around older was just attributed to the 1990s. It was a wild time. And we were growing up, and we were housing insecure, single mom and 3 kids, and we were figuring it out. And I really appreciate my mom, because she to see how she dealt with that era, the 80s and the 90s. This was a crazy time. We're talking war on drugs and war on crime and all of these things just dismantling communities. And I was living in St. Louis and Detroit and inner city areas that we saw this, right? Coming to California, we really saw that as an opportunity, as an opportunity to sort of set down roots. And that's what we did. So we were hungry when we got here. We wanted to own California real estate. We wanted to come out here and set roots. And make sure the future generations have better opportunities.
And that's where you met your wife, right? Cal State Dominguez Hills, correct?
So we both, I was in student government as initially the lower division representative. And she was the technology assistant. So we had a student referendum to raise money to improve technology. And it included one staff position to manage all the spending. So she was in that staff position. So it was, you know, for a student to be like, most student jobs on campus are lower level. She was in a pretty significant level as a sophomore in college. She already, my wife's already always be on top of her game, right? That's why her education is way up here, Dr. Nina Richardson, and I'm floating around with my bachelor's, right? So she was already on top of her game. And we didn't date in college. We were in the same friend groups, but we didn't date in college. It wasn't until later, you know, when I started with the city of Long Beach, we reconnected. You know, she had gone to study abroad in China with her master's program, and she posted a picture standing on the Great Wall of China, and we hadn't talked in a while. And I reached out and said, "Hey, what are you doing with the Great Wall of China? It's pretty cool." And it struck up a conversation. And, you know, both of us had grown. And, you know, I was in Long Beach at the time. I was, you know, had my home. You know, I had my bedrooms rented out to fraternity brothers. So it was kind of a frat house. So, you know, she came over, and, you know, not long from then, most of my, you know, fraternity brothers kind of got the hint. They moved on out. This thing's getting pretty serious. And we've, you know, and you know, my wife, she's at Long Beach City. She's been in higher education for many years. She was at USC for about 13 years in different roles. Now she's at Long Beach City College as director of international students. And she, you know, she's pretty involved in, you know, the YMCA and other things. And so, you know, we've made it a point to really try to make a difference, first in North Long Beach and now across the city. And I think we are making a difference.
So you're in Long Beach now, and you've been in Long Beach. I mean, I think that is tremendous that you were able to buy a home at 25 years old, even in 2009, because 2009, I remember very clearly the economy was not very, very good. Yeah, the property values were lower, but people didn't have work. So the fact that you were able to have enough employment to get a job or to get a residence in 2009 is huge, because I was working for a bank and it was very, very hard to get approved for a loan, and you were able to do that. So that's a tremendous feather in your cap that you were able to do that, and moving up the ranks in such a diverse city. I mean, I don't know if it still is, but I think at one point in time, it was the most equally diverse city in the nation. I don't know if it still is. It's got to be pretty close to
we're up there, right? I wouldn't say we're the most, but I've seen reports that we're up there.
Yeah. So you being the first Black mayor of Long Beach has got to be a huge feat for you that can't be understated.
Well, I'll tell you, before we get to that question, I want to talk about the home ownership piece, because I think that's key.
Sure.
So sure, I was able to buy a home at 25, but I had help. And it wasn't from family. It wasn't from a trust fund. We have a program called FHA, from the Federal Housing Administration, that helps first-time home buyers qualify with a low down payment, 3.5% down on buying a home. And sure, you have to pay mortgage insurance and things like that, but it was designed for someone like me. It's a federal program. And also, President Obama was newly elected, and he passed the economic stimulus plan and included $8,000, I think it was $8,000 first-time home buyer tax credit in 2009. It was one of the first things that he did as president. So the biggest challenges to owning a home are the down payment and having financing. And because of two government-led programs, I was able to get access to help with the down payment and have access to a pathway to get financing. The challenge today is that there are a lot of people who want that same pathway, but the price of homes have tripled since 2009, literally tripled. So down payment is higher even under FHA program. So, you know, taking that into consideration, that's why the things that I've championed as a council member, as a mayor, have really been to open up access. For the first time, we brought back down payment assistance programs to help with that down payment. Here in Long Beach, it started with $20,000 down payments. We bumped it up to $25,000 down payments here in Long Beach that you can apply for to help you if you're a first-time home buyer in the city of Long Beach. And in the financing, FHA still exists. Interest rates are a little bit higher now. But when I came in, as you remember, when I came in and bought a home in 2009, interest rates were high. My first interest rate on my first property was 6%. That's super high, right? But over time, once you get in, over time, you refinance and are able to get in. So we've got to do more to help people. There are entire communities in Long Beach, entire generations that are buying homes instead of in their 20s, in their 40s now. And that is 20 years of a delay of wealth building. That means that you're going to have to work longer, access to retire, and you're carrying student debt that's higher. Your availability, your ability to build equity is delayed and deferred. And so it's a real problem for younger families coming into Long Beach. So we have to do more to make sure they have opportunities to buy homes. So down payment assistance is important. Building more housing, that's important. Making sure they're affordable. Getting out of the stigmas about what affordable housing actually is. Believe it or not, housing, like affordable housing, will become more and more prevalent in the future. And we have to embrace it because healthy cities build housing. Yeah. Onto the diversity piece. Yeah, absolutely. Long Beach, I think, is heading in the right direction. We're a very diverse city. And in recent years, you've seen our elected officials become more representative of our communities. I think that's a good thing. There were some barriers that kept representation from happening, and they've been changing throughout the years. For example, we had a very low turnout for many, many years in Long Beach because our primaries were in April. And the majority of voters that are more representative of the city, they typically vote in alignment with the state and the federal elections. And that's typically in June and November. So we're electing our leaders in April, but the majority of our electorate is voting in June and November, then you're only having a subset of people participating in the process. So that changed. Now we vote at the same time as everyone else. And what we saw was our voting turnout increased. It quadrupled in our city. The turnout expanded. And the result is you end up electing leaders who are more representative of the values, the diversity, and in parts of town that haven't been represented. And so certainly I'm the first Black mayor of Long Beach, not the first Black person to have run for mayor in Long Beach. There were opportunities in the past, but because the electorate has changed, it's more inclusive. Secondly, I'm the first mayor from North, Central, West, from where the majority of residents actually live. We've never elected any citywide electeds, from mayor to city attorney to city auditors to city prosecutor. None of our citywide electeds come from any of these parts of town. And so by electing a mayor from North Long Beach, it really shows that no matter what part of town you live in, you can now have access to be able to participate more fully in your government. And that's what's significant. I'd also say, we should leverage this platform to inspire. There are young people all over town who are thinking about their future. Maybe they have barriers. Maybe they're, moving from place to place like I did. And to be able to say that in Long Beach, maybe you grew up housing insecure, or maybe you grew up in an area that had lacked opportunity, but you can make a difference in your community, and you can ultimately lead your community if you work hard, and you're committed, and you're honest. And so those are the ways that I think about this aperture, this moment we're in.
Well, you're a little over a year into your first term as mayor. What is your vision going forward in being the mayor of Long Beach? I'm sure you have a lot of goals by the time you're done.
Yeah. So, coming into office, we were definitely, seeing some challenges, right? Coming into office, we had just, had a global pandemic. We were certainly dealing with challenges. I think it was like $37 million budget deficit when I came into office. The narrative on the Queen Mary had lost, what are you going to do? Are you going to sink it? Are you going to save it? Right. We obviously have existing inequities from east to west and north and south in our city. And our finances coming out and sort of coming out of the recovery, you're dealing with homelessness, you're dealing with your revenue that needs to come back. And then there's this looming issue of we're an oil province. So for the past, half century or more, actually, we've been balancing our budget based on revenue from oil that is no longer certain. It's uncertain now for the future. So how do we come in and be able to cast an eye to the future, start making important decisions now that help create a more sustainable city in the future, one that is not cutting services and trying to hold on to what we have, but one that's, you know, leaning into a more sustainable future, growing industries, creating job opportunities, making sure that you have the resources for parks and young people and programs. So it's a big task, right? So I came in, how can you take all that in? It started off with, let's just start with the first 100 days, right? So we laid out a 100-day plan, which is really about engagement and listening to people and talking about these big challenges. And that helped inform the most important document in our city, which is our budget. So in the first budget last year that we're in right now was the Opportunity Beach budget. And it placed resources into investing into the future and taking advantages of these opportunities and thinking about advancing equity and addressing homelessness and housing and creating a safer city. Within that budget were things like, I'll give you some examples, an initiative called the West Side Promise. The West Side is an area of town, you know, great communities, great schools, great people, some of the best people in the city, but they're surrounded by a freeway on one side, the port on the other side, industry. And so they don't enjoy the same benefits as other parts of town. And they have a 14-year difference in life expectancy between West and East Long Beach. And so you can't change that overnight, but you can start. Let's start now. So the West Side Promise is a 10-year commitment to look at planning and investment and all of these different things over the next decade to try to make a meaningful difference and help that community reach its highest and best potential. The seed funding to begin that long-term initiative happening in this budget. Housing and homelessness. We declared a state of a local emergency. In 2020, we didn't have a single bed of public shelter in the city. Today, we have more than 500 beds of public shelter and more than 1,500 if you include private sector shelter in our city. So we've done a lot to expand shelter over the last few years. We amplified that and boosted that in the first year through the emergency. We bought the West Coast Choppers facility. That helped out. We used to play this game every year with the winter shelter. It's like hot potato. Where's it going to go? The 9th district, the 1st district, the 6th district. Well, because we bought a building, we'll never play hot potato on that issue again. We know where the winter shelter is every year because we took the steps to buy it, and we'll never have that emergency again. We started looking at what we can do about the oil transition. We don't want to lose jobs and revenue. So we put together a team of 8 between the city, private sector, environmental, you know, and labor. And got involved in a sort of a Bloomberg innovation collaboration process to go out and start thinking about transition strategies. Sent the team out to New York for a week to you know, work with Bloomberg and other cities from around the world working on similar issues. And now we're implementing a plan to turn this transition from oil into real opportunities. We're also looking at, you know, how we can grow our economy in new and more sustainable ways. We're doubling down on tourism. We need to bring more people into our city to help support our restaurants and our businesses. That turns into revenue for our city. It's healthy for our city. So we're going to do things like bring, you know, double down on music. So that's where the public amphitheater, I announced the public amphitheater. That's going to bring, you know, as many as 40 concerts a year to our city over by the Queen Mary. That when these people come here, they'll stay in our hotel rooms. That generates revenue. They'll shop at our restaurants. They'll help our restaurants who have been struggling since the pandemic. It makes a whole lot of sense. And there's very limited quality of life impacts from music and other things because it's on the other side of the bay, right? There, you know, it's not going boom, boom, boom next to your home. And so we're looking at those opportunities. We're investing in aerospace, Space Beach. We're almost at 5,000 Space Beach jobs in our city. Ports, we're investing in our port. We've got opportunities to, you know, make it cleaner. We've gotten some of the biggest grants in America this past year to move our sort of cargo to on dock rail to 30%. So that was big. We're going to be at 100% zero emission cargo handling equipment by 2030, which is pretty incredible. And we're doubling down on this idea called Pure Wind, where we can manufacture wind turbines the size of the Eiffel Tower and assemble them out on a floating pier. It can create as many as 10,000 jobs. These are the big vision things that we need to do to transition our city. And so there's a whole lot more. And while we do it, we also have to make sure we focus on the day-to-day, keeping the sidewalks clean, responding when there's an emergency, placing a big focus on hiring, which has been a challenge for the city the last few years, but we're finally seeing some progress. Our fire department is fully staffed for the first time in many years. Our refuse department, who picks up trash and collects our waste and all those things, finally fully staffed up for the first time in many years. And we want to speed up the hiring process. So I propose that we put it on the ballot to modernize our civil service process to do a couple things. One, if it's a city job, who better to serve our city than people who live in our city or went to school in our city? So we're going to put a unique hiring preference on the ballot that makes it a right. You get a preference. If you live in Long Beach or you went to school in Long Beach, you get a preference on city hiring. So you come in, take the test on a civil service job, and you're in band B, and you unite 5 points, 10 points to bump up. If you're local and you went to school here, you can get that additional preference to come up and get a better opportunity for a city job. So it does that, and it speeds up our hiring process from 7 months to about 90 business days. So these are some of the things that we're doing to speed up the process. When you hire more folks, you were able to deliver better services, faster response times, cleaner streets, and be able to support individuals experiencing homelessness in our communities.
Wow. And I know we're really short on time, but I have one quick question to ask you, real fun question to end it with, is where do you like to eat in the city of Long Beach?
Oh boy, you're going to get me in trouble. So I like all our restaurants the same, but I will say there is a restaurant that's very special to me because it has a sandwich on the menu called the Rex Special and the Rex Po' Boy. And it was well before I was mayor or even a council member, it was on the menu. It's Sal's Gumbo Shack in Bixby Knowles, started in North Long Beach. And Sal was my neighbor. She lived across the street from me when she started the restaurant. And I would go in all the time and help refine the menu, to my own, I would eat a little too much at Sal's back then. But I will tell you, there is a menu. She has a great story where she, during the pandemic, while restaurants were struggling, she converted to an operation where she was doing a lot of online stuff and was able to actually expand and open a second location during the pandemic. And so I think she's just a great story of a local person, put her own resources up to open a business and take a risk. She's resilient. And I think she's an example of just the Long Beach families and Long Beach businesses. We've been through tough things before, and we'll come back each and every time. We know what we went through during the pandemic. We saw unrest with, our buildings burning and glass broken out. But that next morning, thousands of us were out there sweeping up that glass, painting out that graffiti, putting our city back to work. That's the city that we have in the city of Long Beach. And I think Sal represents that. I think you represent that, Paul. And I think that's what makes Long Beach special.
Absolutely, Rex. Thank you so much, Mayor, for taking the time today. I know you're extremely busy. Thank you again.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. It's been a Long Beach thing.